We've been talking about New Testament prophets and prophecy today, which greatly differs from Old Testament prophets and prophecies. We know that New Testament prophecy is given to the church. It's given to build the church. We've been talking about various things within the four realms or the four expressions of prophecy or New Testament prophecy, which is the prophecy of the scriptures, the office of the prophet, the spirit of prophecy, and the gift of prophecy. We know that, just giving you a little recap here so I can pick us up where we need to go. Prophecy is speaking forth the words of God for the purposes of God. We know that we are not to despise or to count as little as nothing prophecy. Amen. And this is partly why I'm doing this, because you know a lot of things happened. And it seemed that people got in like a couple of big ditches. One ditch was they got really mad at prophecy. I'm not going to believe it anymore. All of that's, you know, I'm just not buying into it anymore. That's wrong. That's despising prophecy. Prophecy is valuable. It helps us. It's a gift from God given to us to help us. And so we want to understand that, know that. We're actually, the Bible says to desire it. There's scriptures that say don't despise it, but actually to desire it. And so really in order to do that, we must understand it. And we must understand it not to the point where we're like way over here in the ditch, that everything that gets said, even said in the name of the Lord, even said as, quote, prophecy, we have to realize that not everything is exactly so like that. So that we don't get into that ditch and find ourselves believing things and going down trails and it not being really secure and anchored and really bearing fruit in your own life. So that's partly what I'm helping to do here, is hopefully give you a better understanding. You know, as you can tell from our last four sessions, there's a whole lot of things that God has said in the Word about prophecy, about prophets. And many times we might see a thing here or there, but we haven't really taken the time to pull all those things together to give us a really good understanding. But I want to tell you this, that prophecy has blessed my life. Now remember, prophecy includes scripture. But prophecy has blessed my life. It has changed my life. I mean, I could go for days. I could count you. I could list you things for days that has come from the Lord speaking to me that has blessed and helped my life. And I just want to share this with you, that we got a testimony on YouTube. And this is why we're doing this. For people, for you, to help you. To hopefully cause you to maybe not know some things that you didn't know, maybe settle up some things, sure up some things, but so that we're anchored and stable and steady, and that we're really solid, spirit-filled, holy, kingdom people, so that we can lead people in the right way and help people know the right thing. This came on YouTube, and it said, I was skeptical to even listen when I saw the heading prophecy. This is because of all the false prophecies that happened in 2020. But I had to listen somehow because I wanted to believe that someone has to know the truth, and I thank God that I listened. He said, you know, many Christians, many of the people of God have been led astray because of the false predictions that never happened. And so we're setting the course straight on some of that. Now, let me remind you here, and everything that I'm doing here from the heart of the Lord, because God loves us and God wants us to know the truth, because the truth is what keeps us free. The truth is what we can build our life on and actually believe God in, which is really part of our faith. So I'm not teaching, I'm not sharing things to necessarily call out. But if I don't give you some examples, if I just stand up here and say prophecies that, and then you never hear that, you have a little bit harder time maybe when you do actually hear one of setting it. So tonight again, I may go through a few things. I'm not calling out names, but this is not to call people out or to, it's to help you learn to rightly divide and to know what's going off. So one of the things that we left off with last time on Sunday was that we were talking about testing prophecy. Let me remind you that prophecy, according to 1 Corinthians 14, is given for edification, exhortation, and comfort. In other words, when you hear it, that's what it should do. We know that we prophesy in part and we know in part. So you have to understand that. Even prophets only know in part and prophesy in part. So any prophet that's telling you all the time that they know all things all the time, it's just not quite right. All right? We also know that the scripture tells us in Romans 12 that we prophesy by faith. All right? So this is why it's important not be calling people false prophets just because they missed it, because they messed up. Because you got to remember they're human. They're just a vessel that God uses. They're doing their best. All right? And so you don't want to damage their faith and make them so scared to ever open their mouth and prophesy again because they're scared that people are going to label them. Okay? That's important to know. Here's something else to remember is that according to Scripture, all can prophesy. We know that would be the spirit of prophecy. Not all who prophesy are exercising the gift of prophecy, which is a different expression of prophecy. That's one of the nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and it comes upon a person in a moment. It's a divine utterance for a moment at time, of which the Holy Spirit is the one that decides in that moment to give that. In other words, we can't make that happen. Whereas general prophecy or the spirit of prophecy is prophecy from within. It's being divinely inspired. It's basically the testimony of Jesus. So opening up your mouth and testifying something that is of God is general prophecy. And then we can say this, that not all who prophesy, even often, even with the gift of prophecy, and even accurately stand in the office of the prophet. All of those things are different and distinct, and it's good that we know them so that we can value them, so that we can exercise them, so that we can receive them, so that we can give them and do what the Lord wants done in building the church. So tonight we're going to pick up where we left off on Sunday, which I was talking about according to the three scriptures in the New Testament that say that we are to judge, to test the prophets, the prophecies, and actually also the spirit. Now, I'm not going to give a running back start on that. I did toward the end give you some good tools. So again, if you've not listened to some of the past lessons or messages, you'll want to do that so that you can pick that up. But I wanted to talk a little bit tonight, kicking it off, about a couple of things that are important so that we have an understanding of why sometimes prophecy isn't perfect. Why sometimes when someone says it's they prophesy that we recognize that maybe it wasn't real true what we would know to be Bible prophecy when we judge it according to some of those tools that I gave you on Sunday. Here's one reason why, and I just feel like this is really important to talk about because in my opinion, this is just my opinion, this is not from the Bible, but in my opinion, based off what I know about prophecy, based off what I know about prophesying, is there tends to be many times or sometimes that prophecies rather coming from the spirit, they come from the soul of a person. So I want to talk about that just for a moment tonight about one of the reasons why sometimes prophecy is not completely accurate. So let me have you turn to two scriptures and then I'm going to use these two scriptures to talk about what I want to show you. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. We know the scripture very well. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful, praise God, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of spirit and soul and of joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So let me just stop there for a moment and remind you that as a person, we are made up of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Okay, we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. The minute that we are saved, our spirit is born again. It's made perfect. Praise God for that. Our soul, however, we're working it out with fear and trembling. Our soul is made up of our mind, our will, our emotions, our personalities. It includes our desires, our perceptions. It includes how we view things. Our preferences, all those things are wrapped up in our soul, and our soul is not perfect yet. Now, we are able to transform our soul, renew our minds by the reading of the Word. That's why the Word is so important. We're able to keep our soul washed and clean by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. Praise God for that. So we don't have to go around thinking all the time that we have a really bad soul, but I do want you to know that your soul is not perfect. and your soul at many times is going to get your own will, your own desires, your own purposes, your own, I like this, I want to see this like in the election. Many people in the election got in their heart what they wanted to happen. Now this here says that the word is sharp even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit. So you have to understand that our soul and our spirit are the only two parts of us really that live eternally, and they're very closely connected. And this is why many times it's difficult, even in learning to hear the voice of the Lord. It's something we're continually learning and sharpening and growing in, because it's that thing of learning to discern, is this me or is this God? Come on, let's be honest. We hear, is this me or is this God? Now we can know, but we do have to be sharp and sensitive, and we have to understand some things. So the word tells us that we can divide the spirit and the soul, but we have to know that we do have a spirit and we do have a soul. Okay, so that's the first scripture. Then also turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And this scripture says, we all know it, it's a very popular scripture. Thank God for that. It says, keep or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, really, I believe when it's saying heart here, it's meaning your spirit and your soul. Okay? And the Lord is telling us it's our job to guard and to keep our heart, to make sure that what we're putting in our heart, what we're hearing, what we're seeing, what we're talking about, what we're focusing on, what we're spending a whole lot of attention looking at, listening to the news about. And he's telling us to keep and guard our heart, because out of our heart flows, out of your heart is going to flow faith. And so if you get in a bad thing of not keeping the right thing from getting in your heart all the time, if you start listening to every prophecy and stuff that's really not God, it is going to mess up your heart. It's going to mess up your soul. It's going to mess up your faith. And that's why this is so important that we get this right, okay? So out of our heart flow the issues, the forces of life. Out of our heart flows love. And all motivation for prophecy is? So if someone's got something stirred up and they're been in a really bad spot and they're walking in a lot of bitterness and whatever, that can taint what comes out in prophecy. Now, I hate to say that. As a prophet, I would just like to stand up here and say, every time we prophesy, it is completely perfect. But the truth is that we are a vessel. And so we are doing our absolute best to make sure that it's a free-flowing stream. It's like, try to get your head out of it. Try to get your, like, I never, when I'm prophesying, I never listen to what I'm saying. Because I don't want my soul to listen to what I'm saying. Because if my soul listens, then my soul might start thinking or trying to, you understand? So this is how you have to understand that sometimes when prophecy comes, it comes through a vessel. And so it can come from God, but it also comes through this filter. And many times what someone has been putting in their heart, what someone has been focusing on, what someone has been working their soul up, like I've never in my entire life, even though I'm only 17 in an older body, in my 17 years, I've never seen as much stirring up in the soul as people did with the election. Everybody had a very strong opinion. And I believe that many of the prophecies came out of a soul. We have to say something happened, because many of them didn't happen. Right? Now this is not, I'm not mad at it. My brothers and sisters, I love them. Most of them, I'm sure they just missed it that one time. That doesn't affect me at all. I don't think less of them, nothing. But we have to be honest. Right? So that we can keep ourselves on the straight and the narrow here. You know, I learned a long time ago, I'm not going to say a lot about this tonight, and I hope this doesn't confuse you, but a long time ago when I was learning how to pray and how to pray to God and be able to hear from God, I learned about what they called praying through an idol. And it meant that here's God, and you know with God, but you have something that's so big to you, so important to you, that even though you're praying to God, that is right here. And so you really don't have a that's when your preferences, your desires, your soul, and what you hear from God many times is really what you're hearing from your soul praying to that and it coming back. And so we just have to understand that we have to be able to separate that sometimes opinions might get in there, feelings might get in there, desires, perspectives. It doesn't devalue prophecy, but it helps keep us straight. Okay, I'm hearing that and all of a sudden I'm thinking, I've seen it. I've seen someone start out the first two or three sentences, it's the Spirit of the Lord. Wow, and then it's just like, and then the next four sentences went right into their soul. No big deal. Just don't listen to the last four sentences. Just don't write those down. You don't have to get critical. You don't have to get vocal. You don't have to stand up. No. You don't have to think less of them. No. But we do need to be able to know what's true prophecy so that we can believe it, trust it, expect something to come from it. So when we're dealing with prophecy, whether it's giving a prophecy or whether it's receiving prophecy, your job is to keep your soul out of it, but also be able to distinguish according to some of those tools I gave you on Sunday. You're going to have to do it with your spirit. Okay? And tonight at the very end, I'm hopefully going to get to a little bit about responding to prophecy and helping you be able to respond right. But even in responding to prophecy, you can't respond with your soul. Because you will take something that someone says that really could be a word of the Lord and you will put your spin on it. You will put your desire and work your desire as to how that's going to happen. I remember years ago, I had been believing the Lord for something. It was a very big thing in my life. I was spending a lot of time praying, believing God, trusting God. I went somewhere to visit some people, and a very well-known international minister called me out and prophesied to me. I still have it written down. I still know every word he said. Every word he said has come to pass in my life. But when he said, one thing he said was, he said, it's a year of restoration. Now, when he said that in my soul, because I've been wanting this thing, God, to restore this one thing, I thought, oh, that's it. God's doing it. This year he's doing it. Well, the year came and went. And actually the exact opposite of what I was believing for happened. And I went back to the Lord. And I was like, Lord. Because I knew when it was given that it was prophecy. I knew that it came from the Spirit of the Lord. I said, Lord, this didn't happen. You said it was a year of restoration. You said you were going to restore. But this didn't happen. And the Lord said, no, I want to tell you that I did restore, and look what I did. And what he did was he restored my life in a totally different, down a totally different avenue. And when I got through, I realized, well, I was really a whole lot better off with that restoration. than the restoration I thought I was believing God for. But it taught me something. It taught me something. When you receive a prophecy or receive a word from the Lord, you write it down, but don't you put your desires on it. Don't you get your soul involved in it. Amen? Okay, another thing that happens about sometimes why prophecy gets off is that prophets can do this sometimes, but I've even seen people that operate a lot in the gift of prophecy. Now remember, the gift of prophecy is not a gift that anyone owns, because the only Holy Spirit owns those. And he distributes them at will in a moment when he wants to. Okay? So I don't ever, you know, people say, well, I operate, and I'm like, whoa, okay. You might do that a lot, but that, you know, let's not get it, elevate ourselves about that, because that's the Holy Spirit's role. Anyway, someone thinking that they should always prophesy. If I go into every meeting thinking every meeting I must prophesy. Or if any time a situation comes up, I think I must know and I must prophesy into an election's coming. I must prophesy into the election. It'll mess you up. It'll mess the one prophesying up. What happens is there's a way of pressing in. Now, there's a difference in using your faith, because we prophesy by faith. We're to desire spiritual gifts. were to desire. I mean, I'm always ready. I'm always open. But I'm like, Lord, whatever you want to do and how, whatever way, measure. But I'm using my faith to step out there, to be an instrument, to be a vessel, to let God do whatever he wants to do. But I never walk into any meeting thinking, I am going to prophesy. Because you can press into the spiritual realm that's not the Spirit of God. And this is how people end up prophesying. They prophesy out of their soul because they're just determined. And so what happens is the things that are built up in them, those things they've been thinking on, focusing on, they start coming out. They start making, I mean, listen, and sometimes the thing that's so odd about this is they're wonderful things that they're saying. I'm not talking about people, the election's a little bit different. I mean, it was just a flat out miss. But sometimes they're saying wonderful things. By the way, there was a lot of prophesying going on probably on the other side too, because I have friends that were on the other side. And so maybe their prophecies were true, I don't know. Maybe theirs were of the soul and that just God really wasn't in any of it. I don't really know. But this whole thing of thinking that the church is one voice and that if we will all pray, you do realize that there was a whole other many thousands of millions of Christians praying on the other side. This is how we know that there's not a prophet called to a nation. We're not guiding and leading the nation because the nation is all over the place as to what they're believing. Right? But the problem is that they're saying wonderful things. I've had people prophesy some wonderful things to me. But I knew when they prophesied it, it wasn't the Spirit of the Lord. I would have loved to have said, wow, ooh, yes, Lord. But I knew it wasn't. I knew that wasn't it. I knew they were just, they were prophesying. And I've heard people prophesy the same things a lot. So you don't want to press. You don't want to go past what this. Listen, God knows best. He knows what people need. We have to trust him. We have to trust him with that and not try to be something more and something less. You know, when I prophesy, my standing thing with the Lord in prophecy is this. Lord, just let me say what you want to say, nothing more and nothing less. And that'll keep you safe. Another thing that happens in prophecy is just bad doctrine and unscriptural principles can lead people to prophesy out of something because they see an event that went on and they want to bring God into the event of it somehow, and because they think that God is working through catastrophes and God is working in the midst of the storms, and so they're going to stand up and that all comes from the fact that it's built on wrong doctrine, unscriptural practices. And so I just want to say about all that, just learn to discern. Learn to judge, learn to trust the Holy Spirit in you, and then just move on. If it's not true, if it's not right, if it doesn't bear witness with you, if it doesn't edify, you know, exhort or comfort, just toss it aside, but don't listen to it. But don't try to sit and figure out why, how's this, you know, is it? No, just forget about it. Just don't even let it get in your heart. That'll keep you safe and that'll help you a lot. You know, we see a lot, to be honest, in the Bible, there was a lot of things that Paul would say. There was a lot of things that Jude said about things that would go on and cautioning people and telling people to be careful, because if we do too much of that, if we don't learn to discern, if we believe everything that we hear, our life gets watered down. We end up getting deceived. We, in some measure, we fall away. This is how many people that become fruity and flaky, you know, all off in the, God is in everything, woo, you know, like that, just, they start just with a little something and just keep going down the road. So this is my heart, is because I love you and I want you to be a powerful Christian. I want you to know when something prophetic is said and that was God, and bless God, I'm believing that, and that's going to, you know, that's going to change my life and something is happening for me. So let me just throw out there some of these wrong doctrines, humanistic philosophies, superstitions that are prevalent today, sometimes with prophets, sometimes with prophecy, even in what is termed prophetic ministry, which I've already told you is not in the Bible. But a lot of that flavor, here's some of the things that we have to be careful about. Number one, an overemphasis of prophetic ministry. If every time you go somewhere, it's always about prophetic worship, a prophetic message, we're going to lay hands on you and prophesy to you, you're in the wrong place. You cannot overemphasize. The office of the prophet, although it's fun, very valuable, brings something to the table, is not better than the teacher or the pastor or the evangelist. We cannot elevate something. Your daily intake cannot only be prophets. You will miss out on four of the major gifts that God gave to the church. You have to recognize that America is not under judgment. God is not judging America. He's not judging cities. He's not judging lands because of anything. He's not doing that. I want to read you something. I know the Lord is talking about failure to honor spiritual fathers who have gone before us. If we be under the judgment of God for ignoring what these righteous men declared in their dying days, we say that we are sorry. Please lift off the curse from our land and restore honor to your house again. This is a very well-known, very powerful minister that I actually love, but this is not scriptural. There is no curse on the land. There is no curse in cities. There is none of that. Jesus, he did away with that. And do you think anyway that somebody has not repented? He cannot repent on behalf of me. Amen. Do you think that people haven't already? How many of you over the years have been in the repenting meetings when you've repented for all the things that have gone on, all the things that the church has done? I have been in so many repenting meetings for so many, and as many of the same times over and over and over. And the reason it never works is because it's not scriptural. So you have to be careful when people are always, when their prophecies are coming, they're always talking about judgment. If more of their prophecies talk about judgment than not, then just don't listen to their prophecies. Amen. Amen. This will help us. This will keep us safe. Run from those things that are trying to affect regions and cities and nations at large. Jesus only dealt with a city three times because he was working under the New Testament law. He never instructed his disciples to do it. We never see the early church doing it. We're never instructed to do it anywhere in the New Testament. Okay? So this whole thing of coming out, you know, I mentioned it a couple of times ago. 10 years ago, I have a big thing in here where this big thing about God was removing the spirit of Jezebel from the United States. Then it was Baal. God was removing the spirit of Baal. And here we are 10 years later on national TV. And this time it was with the election. When the election happened, the spirit was that spirit that's been holding America. There ain't no spirit holding me. There ain't no spirit holding this church. We might be dealing with things here and there individually, but that's not how it works. And so we have to be very, very careful about those kind of prophecies, things where we get in meetings under prophetic ministry and we're doing things in the atmosphere. We're thinking we can affect the spiritual climate. I was in a meeting one time where they were doing something and they were all, you know, they get the instruments involved and then they're all, and we're breaking the ground, we're breaking the ground, we're breaking, and I'm thinking to myself, well, of course, I'm standing there going like this. You know, I don't want to, I'll just go with the flow, just go with the flow. But in my heart, I'm thinking, of course, nothing broke in Houston. Nothing was different the next week or the next month or the next year. As a matter of fact, I went back to that same conference a year later and they did the same thing. It's not effective. Jesus' ministry was effective. Amen. Paul's ministry was effective. Amen. We have to be careful about these kind of things. I'm just, please bear with me. Again, pulling strongholds down, pulling demons out, you know, from over the cities, you know, getting in high places and those things, they're not scriptural. What it does is it causes people to do something and they feel good about doing something. We have to be careful. We have to be careful about, I'm going to say it, do I have to say it? Pulling out sounds of heaven. I have been in so many meetings. If we have pulled out every sound, and not one single thing has ever happened to me. Not one single thing has ever, nothing. I was in a meeting one time where not only did we pull out, now I'm not talking about getting involved with angelic ministry and things like that. I'm talking about, usually this has to do with worship. And they start, and then they start. And you know, in this particular meeting, we were releasing the sounds of heaven. Then they were releasing new instruments. Then they released new colors. At one time they were, the psalmist was sitting on the piano going, the turtle doves, and I'm trying so hard, a lot of this in my early days, I'm trying so hard to connect to God, to connect, and y'all know me, my face, so I'm trying to hold my face, you know, don't react, don't show anything. But I want to tell you what happened in that meeting. As all this was going on, I was trying so hard to, this is what came up in my spirit. My spirit actually said that. It came up in my spirit. It said, what does this do for a Christian's life with God? What does new colors coming out of heaven? I don't know. So if you got in the spirit realm and you saw the glory of God, which probably would have colors of heaven that our eyes are not used to seeing, the point is what the glory of God is doing for you. I can't release those new colors. I can't force you to see the glory. My spirit said, what does this do for a Christian's life with God? Nothing. Then my spirit said, how does this pertain to the gospel of the Lord Jesus or the ministry set before us? I walk out of the meeting tonight. What happened in the meeting? We released new colors into the world. New instruments came from heaven. Strange prophetic acts. Y'all remember years ago when we had the oil spill in the Gulf and the big fiasco that was? There was all kinds of things. I mean, they were sending out the thing. We're going to meet down at the, I'm not kidding you. I could prove it on paper. We're going to meet down at the beach. We're going to get in a circle and we're going to pray. And then we're going to do something. One of them was that we do something three times. And then we're going to walk down to the water and we're going to put our foot in the water. And when we touch the water, this grieves me. As a prophet, it grieves me. It grieves me that people get sucked into it is what happens. We have to be careful of these things. We don't want to limit the Holy Spirit. We are certainly open to embrace the Holy Spirit in whatever He wants to do and however He wants to do it. But as the Lord put it to me, it's called tangible ministry. That's the word the Lord talked to me about. Tangible versus intangible. Saying or doing things or believing in things that can appear, sound, or even look spiritual, but have no substance, have no fruit. And listen, the devil loves when the church spends all their time doing all that. Tangible means capable of being touched or grasped. You might not be able to articulate in your mind all the time what just happened for you, but you know spiritually when something happened to you. I know one time I got a promotion in the spirit. I don't know how it happened, but it just like I was there and it just bumped me up. I couldn't articulate it, but it was tangible to me. things that are realized, things that are they're evident. When you come out from really hearing the Lord, when you come out from a meeting where the Spirit of God is really moving and things are being done accurately, you walk out knowing that there's no question, there was a bunch of visions about a bunch of cloudy, dark sayings and stuff I don't really understand, and it was so out there, it must be spiritual. No, you walk out thinking, wow, God is fixing to do this for me, or this just happened for me. That's what ministry of the Lord Jesus through the prophet's office, through, if you want to call it prophetic ministry, things that are involved with the Spirit of God, it causes people to change. Ministry is about people. Amen. It's not about a city. The only way I can change a city is by changing people. We are after the hearts of people. Jesus dealt with people. Paul dealt with Peter. Peter dealt with people. Everybody in the New Testament deals with people because God is after the hearts, the lives of people. Here's another thing to run from. Prophets acting like Old Testament prophets in style, using symbols. Dark sayings, mysterious things. Listen, numerology. I am not going to a conference dated 12, 12 of 12, thinking that because it's 12, 12 of 12, that when I get in there, the Lord is going to do something of whatever the number 12 means. I'm glad that we're out of that right now, because that was like big when we were in the, every time 11, 11, you know, November 11th of 2011, the conference is 11, 11, 11. That's superstitious. It's wrong. One thing I've learned about the Lord, this will help you, is that we are living in the age of light. We are living in the age of revelation, and God wants us to know. He's not trying to keep things hidden. He's not trying to bring a vision or a prophecy to hide something from you, and you walk out thinking, well, I don't really know what that meant, but wow. No, no, no. We're living in the light. We're living in the age of the revealer, the Holy Spirit. When you hear a prophecy, something, if it's true prophecy, something should hit your heart and your head goes up and you're like, oh yeah. We already talked about one thing today, an error in the prophet's ministry is thinking that their job is to correct or rebuke or bring judgment on everybody. We know that's not true. Here's another thing to be aware of, the big grandiose prophecies. Listen, God is really interested in your life. And as you have, if you'll be honest about it, and most of us are, your life doesn't like start at A and all of a sudden something glorious and grandiose that puts you like way over here. It's gradual. It's little by little. It's step by step. God wants to take you right here where you are and tell you what to do over here. So these big old grand, you know, you're going to affect millions of people. Okay, well, let's start with you affecting one. Let's start with you affecting your work, your coworkers. Well, what happens in these big, again, they tickle our soul. They make us think, wow. And sure, we want to be stirred up to move forward and go towards some things, but not these big grandiose, because they're always in the future. They never come to pass. Really, most of the time, you can't tell if they're going to come to pass or not, because they're really pretty vague. We have to be careful. The whole superstitious, thinking that God is in everything, thinking that everything that goes on, that God is trying to talk to us, or God is trying to tell us something, God is doing this, or God is doing that. It's not right. It's not, God's not in that. God's not doing it that way. I just read something about the storm, the snowstorm. And I'm just like, Lord, you know, a lot of people are struggling from the storm. I mean, there's, for some people, some pretty severe. I mean, it was all kind of wild, a wild ride for quite a few of us for quite a few days. And we're working to recover, and some people are spending money, and praise God, we're all with God, and we got our feet. But, I mean, this is kind of like a big deal. And I just read something about, you know, someone going out now. How many of you knew the name of the storm? Okay, well, now, you know, now they want to tell you what the name of the storm is, and they want to find out what it means in Hebrew. And now that the storm has come, God is speaking to you. And I want y'all to know, in case y'all didn't know, that there's been new vision released from the storm. Because the storm actually means such and such and such and such. And so God is now speaking to us, and He's using this to bring new vision, and He's using it. And it's just not true. It's just not true. Don't try to, we don't need to bring God in on all those kind of things. Don't get sucked into things where everything is new, everything is bigger, everything is better, everything is, you know, about things we've never seen before. Be careful to not run or to seek after words or signs or dreams or visions or prophets or prophetic people or prophetic meetings. That's not too New Testament spirit-filled living. It's not. Don't look to prophets or people for words, for prophetic ministries, or to interpret your dreams. If you're going to ask someone to interpret your dream, you better have made sure that God told you to ask that person. Because why? It takes out the Holy Spirit. If every time we see blue, it means something, and every time we see seven, it means something else. Well, who needs the Holy Spirit? Just print the book. There is actually a book. I have it in my office. But it takes out the Holy Spirit. Listen, we're spirit-filled people. God's going to work with us. The Spirit of God's going to work with us. He's going to tell us what we need to know. Here are other misuses and abuses in the prophetic or ministry. Sometimes pride gets involved, arrogance gets involved, attention-seeking. I have definitely been around some attention-seeking people. Wrong motives. Of being corrective or directive, being critical, judgmental. And of course, all that comes from the heart not being exactly where it needs to be at the moment. Competitiveness, jealousy, people needing to be in the know, people telling things that if they really do know that and they know it from the Lord, it's not things that need to be shared or told. It's not to tout that I know something. Those things are dangerous. Prophecy builds the church. It's God and church-centered, and it's God and church-focused. You have to guard against people that are trying to build a ministry or to set themselves way up, touting that they know all things. I'm the prophet of this, and the, you know, follow me, and I'll tell you. It's dangerous. Let me just give you a couple of Bible examples. Numbers 22, the story of Balaam was sent by Balak to curse Israel, and the prophet Balaam was moved by money, prestige, and honor. I've seen many people respond to something because somebody wants you, they know that, you know, maybe they're a prophet. And so they're going to come and they go specifically because it's a prestige. I'm going to go and there are going to be people that are going to be looking to me. That's not why we do it. We do it because we love people. Because we love God. Because we want to help the church. We don't do anything to be seen or heard or noticed. Micah chapter 3, verse 11. Her heads judge for a bribe, her priests teach for pay, and her prophets divine for money. Jude, this is New Testament, verses 11 and 12. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit. Not just prophets here, by the way. Other ministers can do this also, but it's in the prophetic ministry, there just seems to be this pressure to be spiritual and to know spiritual things and to make spiritual things happen. And only God can make spiritual things happen. Listen, if I could make spiritual things happen, I would have done it long ago all the time, but I can't. These are spots in your love feast while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. Late autumn trees without fruit. You need to look at some of the fruit of these people's lives. These people that are getting on Facebook and just charging out, you know, the Lord says this and the Lord does that, and who knows who's what. I mean, you need to look at, you need to really understand, do they have some fruit in their life? Jude 16, here's something I see quite often. They mouth great swelling words. Have you ever been in those meetings where the people get in and they just, it's the great swelling. It's like every word is like, I mean, it like makes you go, wow, but it's rooted from the wrong place. Flattering people to gain advantage. Listen, Jude was urgent in his purpose to warn people about such. Pastor Chaz is urgent in his purpose to warn about wrong doctrine. I'm urgent in my purpose. These are not days. We don't have time to get sidetracked. We don't have time to get off in the ditch. We don't have time to get deceived or be pulled away or get so disappointed. I told y'all in the beginning, there are people that are out there now that are offset by prophecy that they're vowing to never hear a prophecy again. Lives are going to be messed up. Even in the New Testament, there were heart issues they had to talk about. There were wrong doctrines. There were false teachings. And there were many scriptures where the people were told to guard against it. Don't turn there, but I'm just going to tell you a couple of these things. Matthew 16, verses 11 and 12. You should write these down. They were told to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And then it went on to explain that they were talking about their wrong doctrine. It's okay, we can love everybody. I'm going to love everybody. And when I stand in front of them, I'm going to love them, and I'm going to be kind to them. And I'm not going to be harsh, I'm not going to be critical. But it doesn't mean I'm going to receive everything they do. It doesn't mean I'm going to validate their ministry. It doesn't mean I'm going to let them lay hands on me. I've been in meetings where, No, I was preaching one time in a meeting, and I was sitting by another preacher friend, and one of those of great swelling words was, and I mean, my friend looked at me and he said, I hope you don't call me up to lay hands on me because he ain't touching me. I said, me either. But I amened when I could. 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump since you are truly unleavened. We have to keep these things straight. Let me read this. Go ahead and put this one up. 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4. It's kind of a long text, but I just feel like the Lord wants me to read it. And then after I do 4, I'm going to skip to, maybe I only do 3, and then I'm going to skip to 6. It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter days some will depart from the faith. What? Some will depart from the faith. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. This is pretty harsh language. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods. Don't let people take your bacon away. Are you speaking from the devil? Get behind me, Satan. If I don't want to eat bacon from my conscience, I won't eat bacon. But ain't nobody, Texas talk, taking my bacon from me. Which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Skip down to verse 6. Listen to this. So it's talking about all these things that we're to be warning people about and talking about in the last days, the latter days which we're in. And it says this, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. I want to tell y'all something honestly. I would rather not stand up here and have to talk about the error and the thing. I don't like to have to do that. But the Bible tells me that if I will do it, I'll be a good minister. That's more important to me. because we have to have the whole counsel of God. My job is that I take to the utmost is to watch over your souls. And I'm doing my best to make sure that you're not deceived and caught off and swung off. And it's just the thing about it is that it no one that ever gets off knows that it's off or thinks that that's happening. But you know, if you're playing around a slippery place along, I heard once someone tell me one time something went on with this particular minister. It was a well-known, you know, they had gotten into error and something had happened. And somehow, it wasn't me that brought it up. Somebody was speaking to me and they were telling me how they loved this minister. And I said, sure, yeah, I love them too. I think, you know, what something I said good. And then they said, well, I don't care that. And so they went on to tell me how they like their style of something. And so they want to, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, if you play along a slippery slope for a long time, it's very possible you're going to fall in. So it says that if we will instruct about these things, we'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith. That's what really happens. See, okay, so I value so much the words of God. I value the written word. It's holy. It's Jesus himself. What God went through to get us that word is precious. It cost him everything. And in the same way, I value the Rhema word of God. I value what God speaks to me. I value what God says to you. I value that. That's why you could open up my computer. I have recorded it. Just every time God says something, I put it on paper. Because it's the word of God. So it's not like even just your mama saying something, or, I mean, although that's important, or even just your spouse saying something, although that's, this is God. I value so much God speaking that because I value it and because I uphold it to the highest esteem, I'm going to believe it and trust it, and so I anchor my life on it. And I'm expecting that when I hear something from God, that what God said bears fruit for me. Whether it's that God does something or something happens to me or what, I'm expecting it to bear fruit, something to come of it. And so if I'm constantly hearing things and listening to things, first of all, and just listening to them all the time and not really doing anything with them, I'm not judging them. I'm not giving consideration that, oh, yeah, another prophecy. Oh, another prophecy. Oh, that was a good prophecy. Oh, that was a good prophecy. What? What? If God just really gave you four like really good prophecies and you're that casual about it, you've got an issue. So I want prophecy to be accurate. I want you to know when it really is God and when it's not, and not get all messed up, not get judgmental and been out of shape about everybody, but so that when you do get it, it's like that was a word from heaven, man, and I'm banking my life on it. And something is happening. This is the life of faith. This is what we anchor our faith to. If we don't learn to do that, we're going to miss out on much of how God is trying to lead our lives and what God is trying to do for us in life. Your faith is connected to how you understand prophecy and how you treat it. And what pleases God? So if you're just constantly listening to this stuff that's so inaccurate or so out there, and you really know it, but you still just want to, your faith is going to get messed up. Because what's going to happen is you're not going to be able to really trust and believe God, because after a period of all, and none of it ever comes to pass, your heart won't, it won't. Do you believe me? Do you understand? Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses. I came in tonight not really going to talk about the election. I'm really so over the election. But I just have to say this. There was so much division and offense caused by the election. That's how I know that God was not in most of it. Contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. These are very serious days, and so we are to judge things. Now, what we're to judge things with is a righteous judgment. Look at this. Turn with me. I want you to see this scripture. I love this scripture, John chapter 7, verse 24. I'm not talking about now you trying to decide whether people are, you know, we've already talked about you being very careful about calling someone a false prophet. But look at what John 7, 24 says. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Don't judge with your feelings. Oh, I like them. I like the way they dress. I like the way they deliver. I actually had somebody tell me one time, I like this minister because they have tattoos. And I'm thinking to myself, who cares? If you're following somebody off of a physical appearance, don't be judging. Don't be judging by, I like their style. Don't be doing that. Don't be judging by your desires, your preferences. Don't you judge with a righteous judgment. You judge according to the word. You judge according to fruit. If you've gotten a prophecy, you know, 10 times, you're going to have to first go back and see when you got that prophecy, should you have really gotten that prophecy? Because again, not every prophecy that's given is for you. Even if it's a good prophecy, even if it's accurate, even if it's of the Spirit of the Lord, doesn't mean it's for you. But you do have to start recognizing and being honest about what's bearing fruit in your life. We're to not judge by appearance or the thrill of a title or a large following. I have people that send me stuff, and I love these ministers, but no minister is perfect. Only the Word of God is absolutely 100% accurate. And sometimes some people will send me this, and I'm thinking, that has nothing to do with me. But just because it's a big ministry and it came, that we can't receive all those and run with those and anchor our lives on those. We judge by fruit. We judge by, does it bear witness with us? We judge by, does it edify? Does it exhort? Does it comfort? We judge by, does it confirm a sense of knowing in our heart? Y'all want to go? Let's go real quick to the receiving end of prophecy. The receiving end of prophecy. Okay, now listen, in receiving prophecy, true prophecy, you do have a part to play. It's very important that you understand that prophecy is not like removed from you. Somebody can say something that is of the Spirit of the Lord, that is totally 100% accurate, and you can totally miss it. You can totally nullify it in your own life. So we're going to talk about prophecy for just a minute. Many prophecies are conditional. Some prophecies will say, if you do this, such and such. And usually what happens is people forget the if you do this part. Like the word that one of the words the Lord gave to us this year, if you will seek to know him, he will show up strong. But everybody's like, I'm waiting for God to show up strong in my... Are you seeking to know him? They're conditional. Things that have to be done, conditions that have to be met. And many times they're not even sometimes doing something, although sometimes it can be doing something. God many times will tell you to take one step right here, and until you take that one step, you can't go anywhere else. But sometimes there are things about your heart. Most hinge on general faith or believing. In other words, there's something about receiving. We know that all the promises of the Bible, they're all yes and amen. They're all written to us. But the only way that you're going to have them actually occur in your life is if you receive them and believe them. Right? So you have to train yourself with prophecy. Here are some things that you need to know about responding to prophecy. Are you ready? This is going to be it. After this, I'm closing. Praise God. Aren't you happy? Okay. Number one, I do encourage you to record it. Why? Because it shows that you give value to it. You know, the Habakkuk, the prophet, said with the vision that they're write it down so that you can read it and run with it. The truth is no matter how profound it is in the moment, if you don't write it down, there's going to come a time when you're not going to remember it. Listen, I am still living off of prophecies I got 20 years ago because I read them a lot. Learn the importance of it, that you can record it, number one, so that you can really know what was said. It's important that you're able to get that down on paper, that you're able to take the time with it to write it down. But I do want to say this, don't get weird about recording it. Oh my gosh, I have been in meetings where they come up and they got their phone, they're going, okay, I'm ready for my word, I'm ready. And they're so, you know, I'm trying to prophesy to them, I really do have some, and they're like, wait, you know, they're trying to get their button where, and I'm like, no. I mean, there have been times I have snatched the phone out of people's hand. I'm like, listen, when a prophecy comes, if you know you're going up and you think there might, you can slip your phone in your thing and, but don't fumble with it. Don't lose the moment. In the moment of prophecy, the Spirit of God is there. He's ministering to you. Power is there. Presence is there. Many times what you're capturing as much as the prophetic word is what God is doing for you in that moment. Standing in His glory, I mean, connecting with Him. Don't miss all that just so that you can get word for word. You'll miss the moment of it impacting your heart. So when you go up, open up your heart and be ready. Now remember, first of all, we believe all things. So when we come up, we're going to start with, I'm open and I'm ready. And you be open and you stay open unless you start hearing something. And then you can just shut it off on the inside. You don't have to walk off. You don't have to get weird. But you can just shut it off. But don't miss the moment. And listen, we do know the Holy Spirit, who was the one that said it. So if your phone didn't happen to record it, if it is that you can't call wherever or your friend didn't write it down or whatever, you could ask the Holy Spirit. And He would tell you. How do I know? Because He says if you ask, you'll receive. Number two, don't interrupt prophecy with your own words or questions. Okay? Now this is like a really big statement in many different areas. Number one, certainly while someone is prophesying to you, do not stop them. I'm going to tell you why. Because when I prophesy, it's hard to describe. But it's like yourself is almost like set aside. And it's just like a this. And so I don't want people to stop me because when they stop me, it pulls me back into having to go, what? Now I'm thinking. Now I'm in my head. Now I'm, you understand? So don't stop people with questions or your own words. And don't be doing that in your head. Your job at that point is not to like figure it out, not to like analyze. Just receive it. Just receive it. Number three, at times, and these are not in any order. So, at times it might be good if you got a prophetic word, especially if you're a little unsure or there's some things that you might want to share it with someone. But I'm also to be very careful who you share it with. You make sure that they're mature. That there's someone that's really connected in your life. Maybe it's an elder. Could be an elder in your church. Could be your pastor. Could be, don't just go off spouting it around. You remember Joseph did that with his brothers and he got thrown in the pit. Y'all do remember that, right? Some people will stomp, squash, and I mean, that they're not able to connect with what God's telling you or doing for you. But sometimes you can share it. Don't interpret it in light of your personal wants, desires, or your ways or your methods. I already told y'all that story about that time that I had that word restore. And I just knew that because God said that he was going to do this that way. And he didn't do this that way at all, but he did something way more glorious. Number five is that when after you get a prophecy, you do need to consider and acknowledge timing. You can't look at something and say, oh, this isn't true. Well, wait a minute. You need to go back to when it was being received, you know, what was happening on the inside of you, because sometimes there's timing. Sometimes there are some things that are to come. Sometimes the Lord is trying to pull you a little bit forward, let you know of some things that are ahead of you. Now, it shouldn't make you feel confused or way, but not from here. See, so many times we start doing this all from here. This is a spiritual thing. Even in considering and acknowledging the timing of it, you have to do it from in here. When you get it, after you've recorded it, you're looking at it to see, is it consistent with everything that God has been saying about your life and to you? Before you take off running on that, you know, you need to make sure, am I mature enough to handle this word with integrity? Do others in the Lord witness to this word, especially those in authority over me? If you get some big something, somebody's telling you, you need to run that by your pastor, really. Or at least someone who's got some oversight in your life. After recording it or respond, one way that you responded is you need to believe God to fulfill the prophecy in His own time and His own way. And this is where many people mess up prophecy. They get a word, might have really been the Lord, let's just say it really is a word. Now they got that word and they're determined that they're going to make that word come to pass. And they start doing things. I've had people tell me, but I'm something, because, you know, I had a prophecy. Prophecies don't guide you. Amen. Prophecies stay in line with your life. And as you're walking with the Lord and living with the Lord and doing things with the Lord, when you get to the end of it, you recognize that the prophecy came to pass. Prophecies don't push you. Prophecies don't tell you things to do. You don't make prophecies. Well, so-and-so said I did this, so I quit my job. So the third, no. That's not what that meant. You have to be careful with that. Don't force it. Some prophecies you might need to shelve for a while. Y'all know the story about the dream that I had with marrying Pastor Chaz, and then the second part of the dream, and it wasn't for a while later, until 6 months later, until the interpretation of that. But I had it recorded. I knew it was the Lord, but I wasn't trying to figure it out. I wasn't going around asking about it. I wasn't working to try to make something happen. So some things you have to shelf, some things you have to pray about. Some things are going to take faith in your heart to do them, to act upon them, to even receive them fully. So some things you need to be praying about. You certainly need, if it's a true prophecy, you certainly need to believe it and rest in it. And when I say rest in it, you need to believe that if God was big enough to have the purpose for you and to get the purpose to you through a prophetic word, then God is big enough to make it come to pass. You need to look to the Lord in receiving prophecy to reveal what you need to know. Don't look to others to interpret it. Sometimes there's things with the Lord. Maybe it's kind of like a big deal to you. Maybe it's something you really have been thinking was coming or happening, and then you get this and you're like, Lord, I believe that word was really for me, but I just really would like you to confirm it. That's okay to do. But listen, once you do that, don't go up to your neighbor or your best friend and say, okay, now God said this to me. Now I want you to pray about that and see if, can you confirm that for me? No. Now you have put them on the spot. Now you're looking, if you ask the Lord to confirm it, trust God that He will have someone confirm. Every time I have done that, the Lord has had, and most of the time they're not even people that know me. And they will turn around and they will say the exact same statement to me, or they'll just out of the blue. And that's how you're going to have enough faith that God now just confirmed it. This is about receiving prophecy. Always make sure that you're working to meet the conditions that are given. And then lastly, I want to say this. Are you ready? Always honor the giver, even if it doesn't bear witness. Always honor them. Why? Because we honor all people. We love all people. Most of them are doing their best. Okay? Them giving you a wrong prophecy is not, if you know how to do it right, if you know how to judge it right, if you know how to just not, then it's not going to mess your life up. No one has the ability to stand up over here and pray for you or speak something over you and force something on your life that you don't want, that you don't like, that you don't, nobody has the authority to do that unless you give it to them. And the way that you don't give it to them is you just don't receive it. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.